engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, we are in the midst of voting, and Scripture has a lot to tell us about the kind of leadership we need. The prayers that the church provides officially for the Mass include prayers for civic leaders, heads of state, and others who govern. And this is biblically based. Paul writes to Timothy saying, pray for those in authority. Paul writes to the Romans saying that those authorities are established by God and that those who serve in those positions are indeed ministers of God. It is not only clergy who are ministers of God. Those who serve in public office are also ministers. Minister means servant, servants of God. Why? Because they're servants of his people, protectors of their rights. And our founding fathers had exactly the same idea in mind when they said that governments exist to secure the rights of the people. And that's therefore what led Paul to say to Timothy, we must pray for all those in authority. Why? So that by carrying out their duties, and the opening prayer referred to this as well, we can have civil peace, we can have law and order, we can live our lives therefore freely. You see, if we don't have law and order, if we don't have peace, we can't be free because we can't go about our daily activities. We get paralyzed. But to go about our daily activities to freely pursue the pursuit of happiness, the development of our businesses, of our families, our leisure activities, we can't move around freely if we don't feel a certain measure of safety and protection and law and order, right? So we pray for those in authority so that doing their jobs correctly, we have peace, and Paul also refers to religious freedom, he says, so that we can live our lives in all godliness and devotion. At the foundation of this, of course, is the protection of our lives, and that's why we have in the reading today from the book of Genesis the account of the very first murder, the very first bloodshed, Cain killing his brother Abel. And we see that the blood speaks. It cries out from the ground, and that God requires of Cain an accounting. There's responsibility here. Where is your brother? That question is forming the whole context of looking at murder and bloodshed and the taking of life and the protection of life. Where is your brother? God is saying there, we have responsibility for one another. And Cain tries to deny that responsibility. First, he tries to pretend he doesn't know where his brother is, and second, he tries to deny responsibility. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the Lord's answer to that is yes, we are all one another's keepers. We all have a responsibility for each other, and again, that's at the foundation of our civil government and our political life. We're in this to help and care for one another. And in the new covenant in Jesus, he extends and expands that with these beatitudes, talking about those who show mercy and seek righteousness and are peacemakers. Well, brothers and sisters, as we cast our votes, therefore, and the church has expressed this in so many different documents, we have to look through this lens of the protection of life and the protection of our prosperity. We start with the commitment never to intentionally kill. This is made clear in the various church documents about voting. That's where we have to start. If a public servant does not know how to protect the public and doesn't believe that he or she even should try to do that, well, they certainly don't belong in public office. If you say, "Am I my brother's keeper?" if you don't even raise a finger to stop the shedding of innocent blood, how can you govern? And this is, of course, manifest in our times above all, with the direct, deliberate shedding of innocent blood by abortion. There is nothing that is taking more human lives, and there's nothing that takes them more directly and deliberately. You're actually authorizing the taking of human life when you have policies like legal abortion. And brothers and sisters, it is the foundation of every other right to protect the right to exist, is it not? You have people making education and healthcare plans for individuals that don't exist because they got snuffed out in the womb. Again, the church's documents talk about where do we start? We start with that foundation, never to deliberately kill the innocent. It builds from there, and we have a lot of different public policies that we can look at, especially through the lens of our Catholic faith. And let me mention a few of them here. The freedom to practice our faith. We have right now attacks on our religious freedom, and we have the opportunity to protect that freedom. We have the protection of speech, because remember, we can't practice and live out our call as disciples without being able to speak the gospel, preach it from the pulpit, speak to others about it in the public square, in our schools, on campuses, children being able to pray in school. We have the continued fight against the virus and the historic steps that have been taken to contain it, to do research and development of medicines, to carry out an unprecedented response both in the government and the private sector. All of this is connected with our ability to govern ourselves by choosing the right leaders. Embracing our children, increasing their safety in their schools. Speaking of schools, giving parents the choice of which school they want to send their children to. Reducing the poverty level in our country, lifting millions out of poverty and out of unemployment, and stopping things like drug abuse, cartels, and human trafficking. All of these things are being done by our leaders and represent the kinds of things that we look at when we're voting for our leaders, the development of world peace, the direction that our courts go. Remember, the courts, the judges on the courts are making decisions that will impact all these other things we're talking about, the protection of the right to life, the protection of religious freedom, the ability to have security in our country. Many of these policies and more are determined by what kind of decisions are made in the courts. Am I my brother's keeper? Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We can talk about these things from just a theoretical, spiritual level, or we can connect the dots concretely and look at how laws and policies and court decisions actually impact that. There's not enough of that kind of thinking and preaching going on. We talk about terrorism, and we have made such tremendous progress these last few years, the elimination of the ISIS caliphate and the world's leading terrorists. We can go on and on with various accomplishments, and we have, in fact, listed for you at prolifevote.com many more of these concrete specifics that will guide our decision-making in this election. We pray, brothers and sisters, that those that are doing this kind of governing that protects life and freedom and prosperity will continue to have the strength to do so. This is one of the reasons we pray for those who govern, that they continue to have the strength, the creativity, the determination. It's a spiritual commitment at its root, that commitment to pursue what is good, and that's got to be accompanied by the proper understanding of what is good. That's why our founder said we need religion, we need morality forming the people. We're giving them the founders gave us the mechanisms by which to govern ourselves. But they said, well, those people need the clear education in morality and religion so that in governing themselves, they know which direction to go. They know to go in the direction of the protection of life rather than the taking of life. It's so basic. There's another thing we have to pray for as we pray for those in authority, and as we pray for these elections, because ultimately praying for those in authority doesn't just mean for those who are elected, but for those who are doing the voting. Because we're in authority in the end. If we decide who gets into these positions, we're the ones in authority. We have to pray for ourselves and for our fellow citizens. And that is that we conduct these election processes honestly. There's too much lying going on. There's too much slander and calumny. And I don't see your religious leaders hitting the nail on the head. I don't see it happening. There's a lot of vague spiritual talk about, let's have civility and unity and so forth. But unless you specify what in the world you're talking about, it doesn't make much sense. We have to call for honesty in these elections. We pray in this Mass for the President of the United States. About nobody in our country have more lies been told than the president. And those who are telling these lies very often know better. They know better than to say he has not condemned white supremacy when, in fact, he has done so multiple times. They know better than to say he banned Muslims from coming into the country when he did no such thing. He passed executive orders that banned terrorists from coming into the country, not based on religion, but based on the ability of the countries from which they come from to properly vet who's coming and with what intention. And that was not a religiously based decision, as the Supreme Court itself declared. Those who lie about the president know better in many cases, and yet they lie anyway. So where are the religious leaders calling out these lies? You're calling for unity, and you're not going to call out those that are creating division?
Those that lie about the president saying he's doing things that he's not doing, or that he's not doing things that he is doing, shame on you. You're the ones creating division. And the clergy who are silent about this, you're fostering the division. The blame is on you. And then you get other kinds of lies. Oh, he's a racist. Oh, he's against women. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's against immigrants. This is nonsense. That's why I created a website called electionhonesty.com. You know, people are free to make their voting decisions. But if you're going to base your voting decisions on lies, well, then you're no better than the liars. Let's base it on honesty, an honest assessment of what is going on, an honest assessment of the facts, an honest insight into what these readings today show us. That the foundation of everything is, yes, we are our brother's keeper. That's why we have an administration now that has gotten us out of needless wars, that has promoted peace in the world, that has gotten us out of unfair trade deals so that we can take care of our own citizens and keep our jobs and our businesses here at home on our own soil. That's why we work for the defense of the innocent, and starting with those who don't even have the right to life acknowledged in the law. We are our brother's keeper. We are called to hunger and thirst and work effectively for righteousness. We are called to make peace. Lord God, continue to bless the voters of this country. Continue to bless us and root us deeply in your word, Lord, which points out the way of how to govern ourselves. Help us to understand that in your word we find the guidance that we need even in politics. And bless our leaders, Lord, that they may continue to hunger and thirst for you, and that you may continue to work through them to protect our rights, our freedom, our peace. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.